Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's 109.
This administration tried to revamp its image. You got Russia, you got wiretapping.
You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection. But every single person... I appreciate your agenda here.
We're doing the spicy cha-cha. We'll get to this a little later on, but here we go.
But the reality is... Hold on. No, at some point, report the facts. The facts are that every single person who has been briefed on this subject has come away with the same conclusion. Republican, Democrat, so I'm sorry that disgusts you. You're shaking your head. I appreciate it, but understand this, that at some point, the facts are what they are. And every single person who has been briefed on this situation with respect to the situation with Russia, Republican, Democrat, Obama appointee, career, have all come to the same conclusion. At some point, April, you're going to have to take no for an answer with respect to whether or not there was collusion.
Dancing with the spicy cha-cha at 110 on WGN. This is John Williams. We'll do our Trump Talk segment at 1:30, pardon me, at 2 o'clock, a little after the 2 o'clock edition of WGN Radio News. But that's one of the stories that's in the news today. And, you know, I'm not all bent out of shape about the way Sean Spicer handled that. I didn't think that April was being as circumspect as she should be for the White House spokesperson. I don't know what sort of niceties each side is supposed to observe, but she kept cutting him off. And I know he does that too, but she kept cutting him off. So they were having an exchange. Now the Russian salad dressing line is the one everybody's talking about. And I expect that you'll see increased sales at grocery stores near you. Actually, Russian salad dressing isn't my favorite. I've had it before. It's fine. It's fine. But it's not the best salad dressing. In our Trump Talk segment, though, today is the day, and we'll do this at 2 o'clock, that the bids for the border wall were supposed to be submitted. They've extended that now to give all of the contractors more time to get all of the details in. So maybe sometime next week, they'll at least preliminarily accept the bids for the prototypes. One very interesting thing about the border wall is that I never thought about this, but then again, I'm not in the business of building border walls, that if the border wall is going to be between us and Mexico, and the natural border is for 1,000 miles, the Rio Grande River, well, then where do you put the wall? And our position is, we being the United States, we don't want it on our side. Why wouldn't we want the fence on our side? Because if we do, then we give them, on the other side, the Rio Grande River. So we want to put the wall on their side so we get to have the Rio Grande River. Well, they're not crazy about that. And I'm not sure if you get to put walls on sovereign nations' land.
You don't want to lose the view.
My idea is to run it right down the middle. Now, that's going to be a little more expensive, and it's going to ruin the view for everybody. But at least the specs say that the wall has to be pretty to look at on our side. We could put pictures of Michael Bolton on the other side or something. I know. We could put, if you were going to put Jay Cutler's picture of him looking out at the sea with no clothes on, I guess that would be on our side.
And would you want him coming to America or leaving?
But what an interesting conundrum. This wall business is fascinating. If you and I grew up in a country that always had a border wall, we would not think this is odd or fantastic. In fact, it doesn't strike me as crazy that you would have a border around your country to keep people in or out or whatever walls are supposed to do, armies from invading, whatever. But if we'd always grown up in a country with a wall, I don't think we would have seen that as exclusionary or hostile or anything. It would just be, hey, that's where we are. You're on one side, we're on the other side. It would be like good neighbors with fences. So I don't think that would have struck us as all that bizarre. That we're erecting one now seems to be a statement. And the question is, a statement about what? Is the immigration problem so bad coming from Mexico that we need to build that wall at that cost? We'll talk about that later on in the show. That'll be our 2 o'clock hour. By the way, Steve, another interesting thing happened to me in my search for a place to live here in the city of Chicago.
How's that going there, John?
Well, pretty well. In fact, Mayor Emanuel is going to join us at 1:30. We told him we wanted to talk about the immigration ID cards, but I'm just going to ask him about real estate.
I think he wears a Remax jacket from time to time.
That would be a good idea. I went to look at a place today in the Ravenswood neighborhood. It's lovely over there. Yeah.
It's not the Blagojevich home, is it? It's not for sale.
Oh, that's right. They lived in Ravenswood.
Well, they
didn't
still do. Yeah, the family does, I think.
Holy cow. Oh, I should find out where. Probably not, because they live in a neighborhood of single family homes, and this would be a condo.
Mm.
And I really liked it online. You know, I've had this sort of problem.
Right.
With you see it online and then you get there and it's not as pretty as you thought because they've done virtual, what do they call it, Steve? Where you decorate the house? Staging. They've done virtual staging. That means that they paint the walls, you know, sort of like you do with Photoshop. You just sort of paint the walls and you put in rugs where they really don't exist and you clean up the floor where it's not all that even.
Because you're not really buying the rugs?
You insert the hardwood floor and suddenly they've got a hardwood floor.
Well, they can't do that.
Well, they sure can.
So are they changing? Have you seen where they've changed the floors?
The one floor we went to was kind of wavy. It was an old wood, and it's an older property, and so it wasn't all that even. Now it was a gleaming hardwood floor that was obviously touched up. Still, I don't know what they did with that. So anyway, I went to look at this one place because it looked really good online. Turns out it was every bit of the property I hoped it would be on the inside.
Nice.
And then the realtor said somebody else bought it last night.
Yeah, well, things are heating up.
That's what he said, but I think all realtors say that. I've never met a realtor that said anything, but boy, it's a really hot market out there and you need to move quickly. We need to get going here.
There are some neighborhoods that are slower to Ravenswood is not one of them.
Yeah, right. What's one of the slower ones that's less expensive where I can find a real value?
There's some places in the south suburbs, like Harvey and Dalton have been a little slower to recover.
You know what we really, I spent some time driving around last night looking at the West Loop and South Loop with a buddy of mine.
Yeah?
It's a different kind of life. It's a high-rise life, and it's a more dense, busy sort of cars buzzing around and stuff like that. It's not what I'm used to, but my buddy just loves it.
Yeah, I've never quite gotten that because I feel like there's not as much of a neighborhood feel.
No, there is not. But boy, you're right across. You're near the lake. You're near the museum campus. You know, you're near Soldier Field. There's shops and stores that are going up around there. Mm-hmm. Some fun restaurants. We had a nice meal and a couple of beers at a cool place.
You know, you've been welcomed back with great affection from the listeners. Maybe you could just bounce from house to house for a while.
Well, if I don't find a place to live pretty soon, that's plan B, let me tell you.
It'd be like a John B&B.
One other note here just before we get to the serious part of the show, and that is Friday is National Crayon Day.
Yeah, it's a big news day.
The classic 24-pack is going to retire one of the colors.
Burnt onyx.
One of these bad boys has to go. Red, yellow, blue, brown, orange, green. I imagine they're all going to stay. Those are just your basics, red, yellow, blue, brown, orange, green. Then violet and black are on the chopping block. I don't think you can get rid of either of those. Then there's carnation pink, but that's the pink. And then there's yellow orange, which is my vote to leave. There's blue, green, red, violet, red, orange, some of the blends, yellow, green, blue, violet, white, violet, red, dandelion. Is it cerulean? C-E-R-U-L-E-A-N?
Cerulean.
Apricot.
Is that like bluish?
I'm not even sure. I'm going to put an asterisk by that. I think that one's got to go. Apricot, scarlet, yellow, green, indigo, and gray.
I think you've said yellow, green three times, haven't you?
There's some combination there. No, it was green, yellow. One's yellow, green, and
one's green, yellow.
Well, there's a little redundancy.
Who's the marketing person there? Can't come up with a color name?
If you can't find an original name, then I think your days are numbered here, Mr. Yellow, green, yellow. Put them in the same room. So we'll keep you posted on how that is going. I am kind of interested, though, because we are going to do, as we say, our Trump Talk segment at 2, and there's a lot of ground to cover there, but what your thought is about what side of the river the fence goes on. If you have any advice for me or the Interior Secretary, who was the one yesterday that said, well, it's not going to be on our side, this fence. I don't think you can put it down the river. maybe the river could be a natural border and you don't need to do it at all. The problem is the river isn't that big or hostile. You could just walk right across it or swim it or boat it. So you've got to find something a little more imposing, probably, than just the river. Any tips for an administration? It's 119. I'm John, and this is WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's 136. GN Radio, John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Nice to have you with us. I'm here until 3. Mayor Rahm Emanuel's on line 9. Hit that button there and say, hello, Mr. Mayor. This is John Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, listen, I'm a recent transplant to Chicago, and I need to find a place to live. Could you give me some recommended neighborhoods?
Yeah. Tell me what you like, and I'll tell you which neighborhood.
Well, I've been looking in Ravenswood and Andersonville, up and down.
We don't want you in the neighborhood. give me another neighborhood. You got any references?
Oh, gosh. Steve, Bertrand, stand up for me.
Your Honor, I'd like to vouch for him, but I just don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, we're a pro-family neighborhood. We don't want you.
I'm trying. This is like I'm the guy coming back to Chicago. I'm going to spend dollars here. I want to be a citizen. In fact, you know what I was actually thinking, Mr. Mayor, is I want one of those municipal IDs just as a measure of pride. I don't need one, but I think if you said, hey, here's the stamp, you're a Chicagoan, I think I'm on board that idea.
Well, how about this? I'll get you a flag, of a lapel pin with the Chicago flag, and that will be your ID that you love this city.
Let's talk a little bit about this proposal. It comes out today, and by the end of the year, I'm hearing that some people will have a municipal ID. What's the purpose of that? Why would somebody want that ID card?
Well, it's to serve a lot of communities that sometimes we don't hear and we don't see, whether it's undocumented immigrants, it's ex-offenders who are trying to reenter society and do right after having served their time. It's people that are homeless that are trying to get kind of back on their feet. And there's a whole part of what we do, you and I, like, I traveled. You know, can you give me your driver's license or checking into some place? We have an ID that verifies us. And there are a lot of people that can't access other services and other opportunities, and this municipal ID will give them that peace of mind as well as that kind of access.
But the state issues an ID card if you don't have a driver's license, don't they?
The state does issue, but I'm making sure that Chicago and Chicago services are open to Chicago residents. I consider homeless people our residents. I consider ex-offenders who are trying to make good residents. And they have trouble accessing that information because they don't have the other documentation to get a ID card.
So is the ID just to prove who you are, in other words?
Yeah, but it's also, it gives you that certificate, and you use it regularly. You don't even think about it, nor do I.
If I'm not a U.S. citizen, can I get one of these cards?
It's for the undocumented here. You know, San Francisco's done it, New York's done it, and it's a way of, fulfilling my pledge that we're going to be the most welcoming city to immigrants.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, you're not going to turn a homeless person away because they don't have a municipal ID, right? So what sorts of things will this ID allow people to do that they wouldn't be allowed to do without an ID?
Well, you say that I wouldn't, and I don't think WGN Radio will, but there's a lot of people that would turn away a homeless person from accessing financial capacities, cashing a check. And so that ID was going to work with, just give an example. You want to cash a check. I don't know if you still do that, I mean, given what's going on with ATM machines, but think of it, and currency exchanges are going to work with us, other financial institutions. You get a check, and you have no ID. Have you ever cashed that check?
No, I'm sure no bank would take
that
check.
Okay, well, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Think if you're homeless. Think if you're an ex-offender, and that's your you got paid. Okay? How do you access the financial markets, or what we all take? This is what I'm saying. There are things that happen today for you and I we don't think twice about.
Yeah.
And for undocumented, homeless, and ex-offenders. So just take those three populations. This will bring them out of the shadows into the light and be able to go about trying to re-enter society with all the things that we take for a given that they now can function. And that's what the ID will serve.
Are there two conversations here? One is a person without documentation, but they're a U.S. citizen. But because they've been in jail or because they've been living on the street, they just don't have any way to cash a check, say. And then there's the other group of people who are here not legally. Are those two different kind of groups that we should have this conversation about?
Well, they are separate conversations, but give you an example, okay? We've started this big program now being recognized to help the panhandlers get off the street and start earning a check. You know, they're cleaning up lots, okay? We're taking people that are on Michigan Avenue, State Street, LaSalle,
yeah,
who are panhandling. We pay them by the day. We don't pay them, obviously, in cash. I hope not, okay? They have to go cash that check. They go to a currency exchange. They need ID. Even though it says City of Chicago and it says John Williams on it, okay, who can't live in Ravenswood. Not a chance, okay?
Point made.
They need that ID, and that's going to help them. And now they have money in their pocket. They were working. They'll find an ability to go get an apartment where they're going to say, okay, we need your ID. There are all types of things, and this is, you know, it will go towards helping undocumented, it will go towards helping others. And all these people live without the full capacity to access city services as well as the opportunities that exist within the city.
Right. But now talk to me about the impact of or the applicability for people who are undocumented residents. I mean, that's the other conversation, and I'm not arguing with you, Mr. Mayor, because I think
I feel like you're arguing.
I think we should. I think we should accommodate these people.
No, I understand.
But I know there's a population out there that thinks, wait a minute, what are we doing here? They shouldn't even be here. So just address that concern.
Look, I mean, at one level, I mean, I wrote a piece today in the Sun Times that talked about my grandfather's journey. This is marks this year the 100 year anniversary my grandfather came to Chicago, leaving the pogroms of Eastern Europe in 1917, 13 years old by himself. You could, in many ways, he didn't speak English. He was undocumented.
He
came to this city,
yeah,
because of the promise of America. And, you know, never went to college, never finished high school. He was a well-read man, but he never finished high school. Truck driver, meat cutter. But he believed in something. He believed in what the city can do. The city provide him opportunity. He drove a truck, cut meat. He was a meat cutter, delivered meats for Scandinavian Meats. That's what he did. And then he raised five children. One of them became a Chicago cop. My mother became a nurse. And his three grandsons on my family side have all gone on to try to do something. That's the promise of this city. There are a lot of undocumented in Chicago, just like my grandfather. Came here, left what they knew because for something they didn't know, but what they did know about Chicago and America was the promise that if you work hard and play by the rules, you and your kids and your grandchildren can do better than before. And the municipal ID is a small contribution and down payment on that. You know, we have another thing in Chicago. If you get a B average in high school, we're the only city that makes community college free.
I saw that on TV yesterday. I didn't know that. If you get a B average in high school, community college is free.
And if you keep your B average in community college, every school in the city of Chicago, higher education, meaning DePaul, Northeastern, Columbia, UFC, Northwestern, UIC, they'll offer you a discount on tuition for the final 2 years. You can go to college in Chicago for about a year and a half cost. But it's open to dreamers. Why? Because your dream is our dream. And what I want is getting a B average, working hard to be the accreditation we're looking for.
So what sort of identification would the person have to produce to get the ID card? Presumably they don't have much stuff. So how do they?
I think there's I don't have that all in front of me, but there's basic information they have to prove. And again, we're not going to keep that information because I don't want to make it accessible to the federal government to try to track these people down. So they have some basic fundamental information they have to provide, and I should. Hopefully by the time I'm done with this radio interview, I apologize for that. But there's basic information that they have to provide. Name and birth date is all that you are required to kind of be able to fulfill in getting a municipal ID.
Do you worry that the city of Chicago will lose funds or have funds clawed back if it goes down this
road? That's a legal question. And, you know, the Corporation Council for the city is named Zed Siskel. Used to be in the Obama council's office, deputy. so very well versed on the law, and believes that Chicago's welcoming ordinance is not only legal, but that it's very hard for the federal government to withdraw funds.
So I don't know. Is that a gamble on your part, Mr. Mayor, or are you that confident?
I don't think if it's a gamble, I think the odds are in our favor.
I wonder how much money we would lose anyway. Is it a substantial amount?
No. I mean, it's not. Look, every dollar when you're counting is substantial, but it's not. It's, you know, I think there's some estimates as low as 7, as high as $14 million. But that said, and that's estimates, if you go back to the president's executive order, and again, this is what Ed does for, I'm going based on, you should really, from the legal standpoint, talk to Ed Sisco.
Yeah, yeah.
But the executive order the president signed carved out, meaning you can't withhold funds for local law enforcement. So that's not going to impact our city police department.
I have 2 minutes left and just two quick questions to ask you about. Do you have 120 seconds, Mr. Mayor?
118. Go.
118. Oh, God, I've already blown four of them just having the conversation about
two,
how much time we have.
120 and 118 is two, but go ahead. You definitely cannot move to Ravenswood, okay?
I should have gone to a Chicago school and gotten that.
Maybe. I can get you in at Ravenswood Elementary. I think they can help you at fourth grade.
Okay, so the president, I think, continues to layer bad publicity on this city. And I'm just going to play you a four-second soundbite. This is the president saying something about Chicago 2 days ago.
I ask, what's going on in Chicago, right? What is going on? There's no excuse for it.
He's talking about the crime here. What's your response to the president continually bringing up Chicago as a dangerous or violent city?
Well, first, look, we have our challenges and we also have our strengths. We all know why you said your next bet, you came back to Chicago.
Yep.
This is the greatest city to live in. And it's a city that has incredible strengths economically, culturally, educationally. Our high schools are leading the country in graduation growth. A couple of years ago, we were 57%. We're on track for 87%. We're number one in companies moving here, number one in people investing here. We have a challenge on safety, but we're making, and I believe our police department's making progress in that area. I noted, and I think somebody in the said, and I'll just say this, I noticed he never brings up the issue of opiates that are ravaging suburban and rural communities. Okay, now we have our challenges, but we never scare from meeting our challenges. When we come together as a city, going back to the history of us as a dealing with the remnants of the Chicago fire,
yeah,
we never run away from our challenges. I know, you know, I'm ready anytime the president wants. We'd love to have more FBI, DEA, and ATF agents helping us.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, if he wants to help out, send it. I'm okay with that.
Every time he raises the issue, let's increase the amount of FBI agents by 10 and drug enforcement agents by 10 and ATF. But raising the issue without offering real assistance is not helpful. I know, I understand it. He wants to raise it. But we together as a city of Chicago, we've come together as a city, and we've actually put our shoulder to the wheel, and I believe we're going to start to see the progress of our law enforcement coming together with our communities and bringing this public safety we want to see in every part of the city.
I've taken a lot of your time, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much. Let's visit again. We appreciate you joining us.
See you, Jeff.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Yeah? No, I thought he was he doing a last shout-out to me there? I thought he was going to give me one last real estate tip. Probably not.
South, he said.
By that, you mean Kentucky or Peoria? Okay. Steve, he's a lot more fun than he used to be, I think.
I told you. I think so, too.
Is it the Cochrane effect? Steve's kind of warmed him up over the years or the months lately. I appreciate him coming on with us. It's 149, and this is WGN. The number's 312-981-7200. I'd like you to call. I've got about 5 minutes here, about four. I'm going to start counting down the time like we did in that interview and eat it all up. But what do you think about the idea of this municipal ID, and what do you think about the idea of issuing it to undocumented immigrants so that they can better access city services? I mean, to me, that's the controversy. That's the thing that jumps out at me on this, is that it makes it easier for those people to use your taxpayer dollars.
You know, we didn't have time, but I also wonder, and this might be finding a dark cloud in the whole thing, whether it makes it easier for people to vote for voter ID laws. You know, everyone always says, well, it's kind of a hardship to ask these people, the poor and the down and out, to be forced to get an ID.
Yeah.
If they can willingly get an ID for this, you know, doesn't that help the argument to say, what's the hardship in getting one to vote?
Oh, I see your point. Or would this make it easier for people who aren't here legally to vote because they say, hey, look, I'm a resident, I'm a citizen of Chicago?
Well, yeah, probably wouldn't count. Well, that's a good point. It wouldn't count for voting.
They say the ordinance actually hasn't been drafted. The city council really doesn't know the wording of this, so some of these details we don't know. In fact, you could tell the mayor himself wasn't clear on some of the details when we brought it up. Mary says what? You're on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hi, John. Welcome back.
Thank you.
First, I want to say I'm a retired teacher, so I like to bring things down to the very first step or the very basic fact.
Yeah.
And I know most of my friends and acquaintances feel this way as I do. We're not against immigrants. My grandparents came here through Ellis Island, you know, in the 1900s. We have problems with the illegals because you go down to step one, they broke the law to get here. And if you and I broke the law, we'd have our butt in jail.
Yeah.
And they come, they broke the law, okay, for whatever reason.
Well, here's my question for you, Mary. So
sure.
You're not for giving them then that ID card?
Not illegals.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Mary, thanks for the call or what your thought on that is. Thank you for your help. This is Jerry. You're on the air. Jerry, what'd you want to say?
Yeah, quick question, and then I'll hang up and listen. But the mayor mentioned some of the criteria, and I'm sure he didn't tell it all, but he said that the big question is, when is your birthday? And, you know, I would have jumped all over that. But
what do you mean?
I did, but that seems a little bit vague. I mean, it seems way too easy to qualify for something. And then the next step is you get a Sears credit card, and then you could get a bunch of IDs with the city ID. But I don't think that they're vetting people enough. I'm going to hang up, but if you want to comment on it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the phone call.
Well, the mayor said he didn't even know yet what the requirements were. So
he said you would be able to cash a check, though, with it. But that presumes that the banks would cooperate, that they would say, oh, you have a Chicago ID card, not a state of Illinois driver's license or a state of Illinois issued identification card, but a Chicago ID card. So would you then be able to cash a check with that? The mayor thinks so. But what about these other things? I think that's sort of incumbent on the private sector to sort of accommodate them, and I don't know if they will or not. Gail wanted to say something. You're on the air. Hey, Gail.
Yes, I understand someone else came up with what part of illegal and undocumented don't you understand?
No, thank you for the call. I know a lot of you feel that way. I'm out of time. That's why I have to cut you off, but I appreciate you getting in here. The other problem is, what sort of identification? The guy says, well, your birthday is too vague or nebulous a thing to ask for. But remember, these are people without identification to begin with. So they probably don't have some of the documents or records that you might normally ask for.
Well, they probably have phone bills or electric bills or cable bills or the things you do use to register to vote.
Sure, I'm thinking about a guy living on Lower Wacker Drive, but a person who is here illegally but actually living in an address, yeah, you may be right.
Thank you, Steve. John Williams here. Here we go. As you probably read. We went out to bid. We had hundreds of bidders. Everybody wants to build our wall.
Lord have mercy.
All the way until 3. Well, what do you know? It's already 2:08. See that story about the people that run the lottery for the state of Illinois getting bonuses?
You're fired. Here, take some more.
I so want to get one of those jobs. I've had the kind of job where you get fired and then you get nothing. I want to get the job where you get fired and you get something.
They're getting what? Was it $17 or $19 million in detanglement fees or something like that?
And there were bonuses if you worked an extra 6 months. I want that too. Most people are happy to have a job, but then if you stay on, we'll give you another X hundred or thousands of dollars if you just stick around. I don't know how that works.
Used to think that only cockroaches would survive a nuclear attack. Turns out it's lottery companies, too.
I know. And why are we disentangling ourselves from the lottery company? Because we determined they weren't doing a good job.
Right.
People who had odds printed on tickets, those prizes often were never even awarded and stuff like that. So we're going to fire them because they're not doing a good job. And in the process, we end up giving them a lot of money to go away. Oh, that's sign me up for that. I could be incompetent. In fact, you may argue.
No, don't comment on that.
Show me your municipal ID. We'll write you a check.
It's 209. So another story today was that this wall that the president's been talking about, you know, if you said what are two or three of the things, four or five of the things that the president was campaigning on, his signature sort of campaign promises, health care was one, the wall was one. Those are hard to beat, those two, right? I can't think of anything that really compares to those. So we're going forward with it. And by the way, the idea is that Mexico will pay for the wall. Where it goes and how it will be built, well, now is becoming more and more of a reality. We have a spec sheet. Today was the deadline by which bids were supposed to be submitted. They've actually delayed that a little bit now so that more of the companies can get the final bids in. So maybe sometime next week, we'll know a little bit more about it. The idea is that they would build 10-foot prototypes. The wall is supposed to be at least 30 feet high. There is supposed to be some see-through opportunity because we want to see what's going on the other side, but we don't want them to be able to get through. It's supposed to be not climbable. And if at any point in the wall you're actually burrowing or cutting or firing, it has to take at least an hour to penetrate. It should be buried 6 feet under the ground surface and therefore be untunnelable, or if so, so difficult that by the time you get through, we'd probably know you were coming. These are the various sorts of specs. But how realistic is that? I'm still confused about the river thing. How much is it going to cost and stuff like that? So, now I see your name, and I remember I have no idea how to pronounce my guest's name, so I'm going to let you do it. Hi, are you still there, Sophia?
Yes, how are you?
This is John.
Sophia
Tesfaye?
Correct.
What kind of name is that?
Ethiopian.
No kidding. You are from Ethiopia? Your parents are from Ethiopia?
My parents are. I was born in California.
So you're a U.S. citizen, so you don't have to worry about this. So,
well, I mean, unless the Constitution has changed, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's talk a little bit about this wall. That's sort of my summary read of where we are on that story today. Just getting going here, is there anything else in general you think we should know about the wall and its construction?
You laid out the specifications pretty clearly and that it's been delayed for about a week. But the Trump administration expects around 500 bids to come in once the process is opened up, and then they expect, what they are projecting is that construction would begin this summer, and they would announce the winning bid sometime around between late April and early June.
The wall is supposed to be,
if they
do it as proposed, it'll be 2,000 miles long. It'll cost two times as much as NASA's annual budget, but it will also create 15,000 new jobs, and it will make our country more safe and secure, and it will follow through on a promise that the president made to the American people. He didn't get voted on because they like his hair. They voted for him because of some of the things he said, and one of the things he said is, we will build a wall. So, we shouldn't be shocked. And some people aren't at all angered. They're thrilled that he's following through on this promise.
I think the shocking part may be that it may not go down exactly as he stated. It's definitely one of his top campaign promises. I think you asked earlier, a third one, maybe, obviously not a promise, but a campaign pledge, lock her up. But build the wall is first and foremost from the Trump campaign. And it now looks like he may have to pull back from some of the exact specifications he laid out on the campaign trail, even though they were not too exact. Things like what he signed an executive order when he first took office in January, laying out that he would like the wall to be a contiguous border wall on all points of land. But this week, his Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, indicated that there are obviously parts of the terrain where a wall is not the most feasible border protection, places where things like the Rio Grande River or other barriers of the terrain make a wall.
Oh, there's ravines and there's mountains. And it's
correct.
Funny. I mean, this is so elementary, but we just don't think about that when you think about it in the abstract. You look at a map and you go, there's Mexico, there's the United States. Let's build a wall along that smooth dotted line on my map here. And then you actually go there. I haven't, but I've seen pictures now, and you look at some of the terrain and you go, to build a wall up and around or through or to level some of that area to put a wall on it would be a fantastic endeavor. So you wonder, well, is some of the terrain so difficult to cross that we won't build the wall there? We'll just let the natural terrain be the natural barrier. I don't know if that satisfies people or not.
Nothing of the property issues around eminent domain and, you know, farmland and ranch land that belongs to people. So there will be plenty of lawsuits, I think, from every state along the border, fighting the federal government's use of land to build the wall. So that's another thing that, you know, I don't know how much the Trump administration has really worked through that part of the process.
Do you know much about this? So you've got this river here. It's called the Rio Grande. I don't know much about it, except that I've heard about it and that in some places it's wider and some places it's narrower. But if we put the wall on our side, then we essentially cede the river to them. If we put it, you can't put it in the middle. So we want to put it, according to my understanding, by our interior secretary, we want to put it on their side. Is that your understanding as well?
I think that is the most outlandish reading of what he said. I think what he's really saying is that there will not be a wall in every port part of the border. So don't expect what Trump has said, a wall, like you said, throughout the entire length of the U.S.-Mexico border.
Mm-hmm.
Places like the Rio Grande where the river, for instance, ranchers on the U.S. side would like access to the water. But if you put a wall in the middle of the river, you're cutting them off from that water. Obviously, I think he said we'd be ceding that land to Mexico, which obviously is not going to happen.
Well, here's the quote.
And then you can't really build it on the Mexico side because, you know, that's not really legal.
Well, but here's the quote. It said, the border is complicated as far as building a physical wall. The Rio Grande, what side of the river are you going to put the wall on? We're not going to put it on our side and cede the river to Mexico. And we're probably not going to put it in the middle of the river. Maybe his point there then is, right, we simply won't build a wall along the river itself and find another way to monitor.
Right, the only other option is to build it on Mexico's side, which is,
is
completely
there,
not feasible.
Yeah, well, what is the status of paying for it? Now my understanding is that the president said, we'll pay for it first, and then we'll get the money back from them in either fewer grants to them or trade embargoes or tariffs on items that are coming from Mexico. We'll collect the money that way. Is that your understanding of it also?
Correct. That was the second part of Trump's large campaign promise, that not only would the wall be built, but that Mexico would pay for it. He's been, ever since the current president, former presidents of Mexico have spoken out against that and said, there's no way we'll pay. So in response, Trump has offered, you know, other funding mechanisms, but what he has officially done is requested funding from Congress. And so far, it looks like he's getting the most impactful opposition from Republican senators. There's already been a Republican senator who came out this week and said that the initial hundreds of millions he's requested for construction this year and for planning this year will not come because the next funding mechanism is actually the budget by which Congress has to keep itself open, April 28th. And I think they're already in the midst of negotiations for that. And so appropriating extra funds for a wall that lots of people are, it's already contentious. Roy Blunt is the Republican senator from Missouri who indicated this week that Trump will not get his funding. At least not in April, in the April allocation.
Right. Well, they have this big, we have this deadline looming. So once again, it's one of those things where the government shuts down if the Congress doesn't appropriate the funds. We've been to the wall before, no pun intended on that, and we always seem to manage to come up with some sort of funding. But you're right, there is talk about attaching funding for phase one or two of this wall project to that bill. That will really complicate things, won't it?
For the debt ceiling, yes. But it's what Trump needs in order to get most of the construction started this year. So unless the White House can come with a different vehicle to get their funding, it doesn't seem like they'll be able to stick to their initial timeline.
wonder if people have a certain energy for it, if they think this would be cool. The Great Wall of China is a tourist site, and it was built to keep the enemy or the other people out of their country. I noticed that it's supposed to have, it's supposed to accommodate pedestrians and automated, mechanized vehicle slide. There will be gates. I just wonder if people will look at that with a certain amount of pride and say, see what we did? We followed through, and now we're safer, and it's a symbol of American security. I wonder if people will react to it that way.
The president has promised that it would be, you know, beautiful is his exact term, and that it would be aesthetically pleasing for visitors or for viewers on the northern side, on the U.S. side. So in that way, and I think more importantly, as a jobs plan, as a jobs program, I think if there's any other vehicle except for this debt ceiling funding bill, there may be an infrastructure bill, that a bipartisan one perhaps even, that he's trying to work out.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get funding one way, he could possibly get funding through infrastructure project, the wall is the centerpiece.
I wonder if here's a way to fund it. Do it like we do a lot of things. Let companies put their – now we're losing you. Sophia, hold on a second. But we could let companies put their names on it. This mile sponsored by – like the way they clean up highways. You could say this mile sponsored by Target or by – I'm just looking out the window here. Charles Schwab could sponsor a couple of miles. Starbucks is a good American company, could sponsor some miles and help fund the construction or the maintenance. I'm working really hard for the wall here. It's 2:21. Sophia, hold on a second. Your questions, comments, or observations, I wonder what you think about this. 312-981-7200. Would you take a little pride in the wall? Is this something you do want to see us follow through on? This is WGN. We're talking at 2:24 for just a couple more minutes about the president's proposal to build a wall along the border. Today was the deadline by which companies were to have submitted their bids. The federal government isn't going to do this. They're subbing it out to the private sector, and hundreds of companies have submitted bids, and dozens will get the offer. No one company is going to build the whole wall. You do California, you do this part of Arizona, you do that part of Arizona, that sort of thing. All right, I think Sophia's back on the line from Salon.com, and we've got some questions and comments from our listeners, too. Sophia, will you take some calls with us?
Sure thing.
Let's start with Glenn. Hey, Glenn, you're on the air. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I remember back in 08 or 09, back when the economy fell apart, I was listening to, and I thought it was this station, that we had already spent some $900 million on a high-tech wall that literally only went a matter of miles. It seems to me it was like 6 or 7 miles, and they had ran out of money. And I was doing the math in my head because so many people were unemployed, and I'm like, well, you could put a man 100 yards away from each other, pay him $50,000 a year for 3 years, but what you just wasted with that, you know?
Yeah, we do have a lot of, you know, we do have a lot of wall. It's not the wall like we're describing here, but we have tall and reinforced fencing. We have what appears to be an impenetrable thing, a curtain between us and a lot of Mexico. And there, you're right, there has been $1 billion spent on some walling, I believe in the San Diego area. Sophia, are you up to speed on some of that?
There's about, San Diego is getting new funding in Trump's, I think he's requesting about 6 million or billion. I always get the two confused.
Yeah, one's bigger than the other. Yeah.
to reinforce the San Diego part of the wall. It's been up for years now. And so I think he wants to retrofit, I would say, not rebuild, but retrofit that length of the wall. There's also other portions, but none as long as the San Diego region. But even along the parts of the border that don't have a wall, like you said, they are totally manned either by drones or by actual border agents. And along the river, for instance, there are agents watching on the northern side for people crossing over on the shallow end of the river. So without the physical barrier, there's plenty for now, not enough, but there is some
walling up there. You know, boy, that'd be a miserable job. I mean, so suppose we have drones with cameras and they're just flying back and forth. And then you're in the command center and your job is to watch a few screens. That could be a job. That could be a job all day. How miserable a piece of work would that be? I'm not saying they won't be able to find people to do it, but your job is to watch pictures of the wall as a drone flies back and forth. And 99.9% of the time, you're never going to see so much as a squirrel or whatever they got down there, let alone people quick scrambling over the wall and then you hit the red button and we get them. But, you know, maybe that would function. The idea is to keep people from coming across the border. If that worked, maybe that would be sufficient. Just a lot of drones and not a physical presence. I also think, though, that there's a certain amount of ego involved. The president said he wants a wall. He does not want a fence. And I suppose because he promised a wall, we all have in mind this 30-foot tall black concrete and rock wall thing, maybe with some fencing on the top. And they said the specs include that it would be difficult to climb, that it would have obstructions, so they can't get over. That's a thing. That's a honking thing. I think the president and a lot of people want a big old honking thing, and they don't want drones, or they don't want unemployed people with guns. They want a wall. You know what I mean? I actually think there's some desire of following through with the pledge because they want to see that thing they were promised. Let's talk to Jason right now. Hey, Jason, jump in here. What do you want to say?
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. Sure. You know, there's been a wall in southern Mexico across the Guatemalan border for 25, 30 years. I mean, I don't know when they built it, but it's been there for 30 years.
Really?
Why aren't we talking about that?
I don't know. I mean, you know anything about that? It's just probably a smaller wall, but who built that, Mexico or Guatemala?
Mexico, to keep the Guatemalan refugees that are stormtrooping into their country.
Wow.
Right, exactly. So everything Mexico states regarding the wall that we want to put up to keep, you know, their people out, well, let's start speaking about the wall that they put up to keep Guatemalans out.
Boy, that's an interesting point, Jason. Thanks for the call. Tom, jump in here. What did you want to say? You're on GM.
Yeah, I think we should build a transportation hub or a transportation corridor that's elevated. That way the railroad and the trucking can ship all their containers from L.A. all the way over San Diego, all the way over to Houston, which we're already doing. It would be an elevated transportation corridor.
Right. So it served two purposes. We got to have a road there anyway, and it could serve as a wall.
Paying for something.
Yeah, no, I get it. Hadn't thought about that. All right, Sophia, I'm out of time. Lots of interesting suggestions and ideas here. We will talk more about this down the road, but we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
She is a deputy politics editor at Salon.com. It's 2:30. Steve's got more news next on WGN. Elif just went to Snopes and found the Mexico-Guatemala border. Now, let me just read it here for a second, Steve. It says, 26 August 2015, Facebook group Americans for Common Sense posted a photograph purportedly showing a fence built along the border between Mexico and Mexico's southern neighbor, Guatemala. The image was accompanied by a query about why it's not racist for Mexico to build a fence to keep Guatemalan immigrants out of their country, but presumably it is for the United States to do the same thing here. The query is moot, and the picture is irrelevant because there is no wall along the Mexico-Guatemala border. Most of that frontier consists of rainforest, mountains, rivers, lakes, or other natural barriers, and few of the sections passable by foot or automobile include any walls or fences. Thank you for that, Steve Bertrand. It's 2:39. This is John Williams. I want to talk about gaming in this half hour. By the way, I'm just noticing that the Video Game Hall of Fame has put more games into the Video Game Hall of Fame, but with it being a Video Game Hall of Fame and all.
Where else would you put them?
Well, I didn't even know there was one is
oh,
my problem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like you know about Space the Video Game
Invaders
Hall of Fame.
And...
Well, so what? So this is the nominees this year. This is the inductees. Did you see the list?
No. Ms. Pac-Man.
Donkey Kong is in.
Ah.
And then Final Fantasy VII. Don't know what that is. Halo Combat Evolved. Don't know what that is. Microsoft Windows Solitaire. Now that I love because that shows how far we've come.
Really? That's the only video game I play.
You do not.
I do. On my phone, it's the only one I play. Solitaire.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I guess so. Myst. I understand that. Pokemon Red and Green. Portal. Resident Evil. These are all titles of video games. Street Fighter 2 and Tomb Raider. My all-time favorite game is not on here. Galaga. I don't know if that would be considered a video game, but I think that's a video game.
Is that how you say it? Galaga?
No, I don't think it is.
So maybe Galaga?
Yeah, that one.
I don't know. I'm just thinking Galaga is kind of not very
doesn't
inspiring.
Roll off the tongue? Doesn't
no.
sound right?
No.
Pong is already in the Hall of Fame,
of
as well
is.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the hours we whiled away playing that. So now here's the story on the front page of the Tribune. Taxpayers are losers in the lottery. Joe Ma wrote the piece, and he joins us now on WGN. Hi, Joe. It's John. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
What was the video game of your youth or young adulthood?
You know, I do remember Galaga. That was I used to stay at the Pizza Hut. You'd pump quarters in playing Galaga until your pizza came. Ah, the entertainment.
Oh, you two found each other.
Galaga, yeah. And didn't you love it when
Galaga,
you got
yeah.
when you got the enough of the things that you were then able to have two spaceships side by side shooting at the aliens?
Oh, yeah, that was a dessert. Yeah, that was just great.
It was the best of times. I'll tell you what, if you said, hey, John, we found one of those old arcade Galaga games at a Pizza Hut that's closing. Do you want to buy it? I would be a very serious bidder on that. What do you think that's going to run me, Joe?
That's a good question. I don't know. If it even works, right? If
yeah,
it even
right.
works.
Well, that's the thing. And then you get it and you take it home and then it doesn't work. Who's in the business of fixing old Galaga games, right? Where do you find that guy? Let's talk about the lottery. So what is this story? What is the current relationship between the state of Illinois and its lottery vendor?
It is not great, to put it
shortly. But they're still working for us, right? They are still our company.
Yeah, they're still well, and they have to, yeah. So, you know, Illinois was the first state in the nation to privatize. They basically brought in this private firm. And they made some more money, but they just didn't make as much as they said they would. And the state wanted to get rid of them. They blamed the state. They wanted to get out of Illinois, so they signed this deal basically to get out, kind of a breakup deal.
Okay.
And what we wrote about today was kind of the fine print of this breakup deal was something that Illinois paid called disentanglement fees, which basically were the fees for the breakup. So this firm didn't have to pay penalties anymore when it didn't make the projections it said it would. And instead, it got these disentanglement fees. And one of them was bonuses. So their employees got retention bonuses. Basically, the idea is if their employees kept working there, they'd get paid more. It's anywhere from 30 to 50% of their base pay. And I think even if they're this year, it's 60% of their base
yeah,
pay.
Yeah, right. Well, is the idea that if the company's closing up shop and you're on that project, you're going to be out of a job. In order to get you to see the disentanglement through, we're going to give you incentives to stay, even though you're inclined to, you know, flee the job. I mean, is that the rationale behind it?
You know, we were never that would make sense. They never gave us the rationale.
They should use that one. I just convinced myself that this is a good idea now.
Yeah, now that from what we can tell in the contract, these employees still will get severance and they still are up for jobs and the majority owner of this firm. There's a major gaming company that owns most of the firm that now manages the Illinois Lottery. I know it's a little confusing. But according to the deal that we saw, they may be getting jobs there, too. So I don't know that everybody would be out the door.
Well, then, good grief. Who signed this? Was it the governor or the legislature? Who's responsible for giving him such a sweet thing?
Yeah, this was signed by the Rauner administration. It mirrored one signed by the Quinn administration, although there were some key differences, one being that the Quinn administration didn't specify they would pay these retention bonuses, and the Rauner deal did.
This reminds me a little. Is this in any way related to the fact that some of those scratch-off games were not paying out the prizes that they advertised?
You know, we can't tell for sure. I mean, that was a different issue. And as when we exposed that, the breakup was already occurring. So,
I mean we are making money. It's not like we're losing money on the lottery, right? People are buying losing lottery tickets, and we are benefiting as a result as a state, correct?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, it would be, you'd have to be really bad to lose money in the lottery. So
I'm telling you.
I can't say it can never happen, but you'd have to be pretty impressively bad to lose money. But
if you had to throw darts at a map of the country and it landed on Illinois, I think I'd say that's a pretty good bet for maybe the one state that lost money on its state lottery was Illinois. So now, this is your story. Illinois taxpayers have funded about $2 million and retention bonuses for employees of this firm. Are they like the executives of it, or are they just the regular staff workers that, I don't know what a lottery worker does, but just the regular employees of that business?
Yeah, you know, we don't know for sure. And now what we do know how this works is that there are two sets of employees. There are employees that are still technically state employees on loan that work for the lottery, their sales reps, things like that. They're not covered by this. They're technically still state employees. There are employees of this firm. They may or may not be some rank and file. We don't know for sure. The company won't tell us, but they do rise up to executives, you know. The company won't say who's getting the bonuses. The state says it doesn't know who's getting the bonuses, so we don't know, you know, who's getting them.
So what do we do now then? We're going to get rid of this company. We're going to pay these disentanglement fees. It sort of reminds me of what happens when an athlete doesn't perform and you hate to keep giving him a uniform and trotting him out on the field, taking a position from maybe a better player. So you pay them even though they're no longer on the – they're still on the payroll, but they're no longer on the team. You know what I mean? That's what this sounds like. So who's the new player we're going to get? Do we have another company in line that's going to do a better job?
I don't know if I could say if they're going to do a better job or not, but I know this, the state has put this out for bid in this process. It's a pretty secretive process. From what we understand, there is one bidder, and that was a company that had bid earlier in the when this other firm got it. There was two finalists. One was the firm that got it, a firm called Northstar. The other is a firm called Camelot, and they have bid again. So, but we don't know for sure. I mean, we don't know when, if and when this other firm will be hired. We don't know, you know, there's not a lot being said about this process.
Shoot, if they're looking for more people to run their lottery and they only got one other guy, that's not a very, I don't know how good a deal we're going to get if there's only one other person in on the bid.
Yeah, I mean, those are all questions we're asking. Yeah.
I'll run a lottery. What does it take? Here's what you do. You get 54 numbers. You pick six. Although, does the Illinois lottery oversee that? That's Powerball or something I'm describing. Does the Illinois lottery oversee that?
No, the multi-state stuff, it's run by a separate organization. But Illinois does oversee a lot of games. I mean, the instant games, the scratch-offs, the ones we wrote about are actually the most popular. They sell. They make more. They have more revenue. They sell more of those than they do of the multi-states.
Well, I've never. Keep going.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a little confusing. There's the multi-state games, and then there's also some in-state like lotto games and things like that that Illinois does control.
Never understood that impulse to buy the ones where you might win $1,000 or $10,000. I mean, I'd take it, but I pretty much know I'm not ever going to win. If I'm not ever going to win, I want to not ever win a lot of money. I want to not ever win $200 million, not, you know, $2,000. So I buy tickets, but only when it gets really, really gigantic and I can kind of fantasize about winning $100 million. I don't know that I would sit around and fantasize winning $10,000, you know?
Yeah, but there are some core lottery players that will do the math. You can actually go online for these scratch-off games, and they will do the math and try to figure out where their best odds are for playing this game or that game. So there are some real core people who will play those smaller games.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I was having breakfast the other day with a buddy. We just played basketball, and so then we're all sitting there having a cup of coffee, and I forget how lottery came up, but he says, no, you buy these certain scratch-off tickets, and if you buy them on the right date, the right location, the right games, whatever – he said, on some of them, my chances of winning are 1 in 144,000. I said, did you just hear yourself? You're not going to win a 1 in 100. I mean, that's a lot better than 1 in 58 million, but you will lose every time you play a 1 in 144,000. He goes, no, I might win. If I'm going to win, I have a better chance of winning that thing. People do know those numbers, I guess. Huh? They're into
Everybody's
that.
Got a system, man. Everybody's got a system.
Well, it's interesting reporting, and it's page one today. Tribune Watchdog, Illinois' lottery gamble. And these disentanglement things make you nuts. Well, it's nice to talk to you, Joe. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so there's that. Call me right now. I'm John, and this is GN. I said nobody ever wins these dang games. And then Lana called in. Lana, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm well. Welcome back.
Thank you. What's your story?
Well, we had a group at work and would throw in money all the time. And we won, within about 6 weeks of each other, won $10,000 twice.
That's pretty good. And, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So,
was that, what kind of game was that?
I had a Powerball.
Oh, so you did. So what did you get? Five of the numbers or four of the numbers?
Five.
Oh, are you kidding me? So on Powerball, you get five and you only get $10,000?
Yeah.
When I get to be king, you're going to get a lot more than that.
Oh, thanks, John.
I mean,
I knew you'd take care of me.
Well, what was your reaction? Hooray, we won $10,000, or dang, we're only getting 10 when we could have gotten 20 million.
We could have, because the number that we missed was 13 and we had 31.
See, then you should get a bonus for that. So I'm going to have a court of arbitration, and you're going to say, well, we only had five. And I'll say, well, what number did you have? And you're going to say 13, it was 31. And I'm going to go 10 million more. I'll just give you the money.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Lana, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Have a good day. Thank you.
You know, are you a half full or half empty kind of person? Is that a person who is very, very lucky or a person who is unlucky? Kevin, you're on WGN. What do you want to say?
Yeah, John, I spent $3 on a scratch-off ticket and won $5,000, and then my voice went hoarse for the next 2 days because I kept screaming, $5,000, $5,000. I couldn't believe it. And then last year, my wife won $1,000 on a $3 scratch-off.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so
shut
we'll
my mouth.
Continue to play.
People do win sometimes. What'd you do with the $5,000?
I put new shingles on my house.
Isn't that great? I mean, I love it when people actually... Because nobody wants to buy a new roof. That is the worst check to write. But doggone it, if somebody else is writing it, it's easier to do.
Thank you, Illinois Lottery.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, so there you go. A couple of multiple winners. If you've won more than once, I'd be curious to hear your story. I got a couple of calls, but only a couple of minutes here. Rahm Emanuel was on with us earlier. We were talking about that immigration ID card thing. You'll be hearing more about that. And also today was the deadline for submitting your bids for the wall. Now they're going to extend it to sometime next week, but we'll be talking about that one again. Oh, goody, goody. So are we going to take this call on line one or not? We're not. The news is next. Roe is right around the corner. Okie dokie. Seems like I missed a real golden opportunity here. You can tell I'm not around very long. You guys were eating the free food?
Well, we weren't. Kevin and Violetta were eating free food. They went to the G-Spot, as we call it, Guaranteed Rate Stadium, over on where the Sox play.
Yeah.
You know what? I still call it Sox Park. You know, growing up,
me too. Totally.
It was either Kaminsky or Sox Park.
Kaminsky. But they always have good food over there, no matter what the name it went by at whatever time it was. Good
to
food.
Me, all grocery stores in Chicago will always be the Jewels.
The Jewels, right. Jewels. Nice. You put an S on the end of that. I got to go over by the Jewels.
Yeah.
Now, I would say this about, whether it was Kaminsky, I'm a Cubs fan, but I have always found the experience at, whether it was Kaminsky or the Cell, to be just, there were a lot more seats open, so that was always fun. You could always seat hop there. But it always smelled better in the stadium.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like they're always grilling onions.
Oh, maybe that's it.
That's
love
true.
That smell.
Yeah.
Do love that smell.
So there's that.
So now you can get craft brews there.
Yes.
Or
find out.
We're going to find all
440.
About it.
In the meantime, I talked to Dean Angelo, FOP president. He met with the president of the United States yesterday.
Nice.
Very famously, was asked, what's going on in Chicago, Kay? What the hell is going on? Right? That was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then... we have, Richard Roper's going to be here. He's got new movies from Scarlett Johansson and two other gigantic stars all coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that.
Really tall stars? Or
yes. No, they're
famous
big, they're,
stars.
They're, no, they're,
super
they're
famous.
Very tall.
Yeah.
Very tall stars.
Yeah. Gigantic star, like a 14-footer.
Exactly. So all that's coming. Oh, and a very special congratulations to one of our own who just made a major accomplishment. We'll tell you about that right on the other side of this. Thank you, John.
Thank you.